in Washington, at the United Nations, and in foreign capitals, among politicians, diplomats, and ordinary citizens, the question occasions discussion and debate. Attacking Iraq, is it right? Is it justified? Is it necessary?
The specific questions about Iraq lead to a broader discussion. What justifies going to war at all, especially against a country that has not directly attacked us first? In this part of our program, we'll hear from three people in different walks of life who are all concerned about the intersection of morality, war, and law. We'll talk with a general and a political philosopher, and we begin with a theologian.
Father Richard John Newhouse is a Catholic priest and editor-in-chief of First Things, a monthly journal of religious and public life. For Father Newhouse, the case for attacking Iraq soon has been made.
Why should we wait? Why is it better to do it later rather than now? I have not heard any convincing reason why it would be better in terms of preventing the damage that is threatened to wait a longer period of time, thus giving him a greater opportunity to move according to his own intentions.
But your understanding of Catholic teachings and your own view of the situation is that no overt act by Iraq would be required at this point to justify an attack on our part. He has done enough to provoke and justify, as you would see it on our part,
a full-scale
attack on Iraq.
That's an interesting way of putting the question. As you know, there is a long, centuries and centuries long, going back at least to St. Augustine in the 4th century, tradition of just war doctrine that the Catholic Church adheres to. And one of the criteria of a war that is legitimate, that is just, is that it is not an aggressive war, it is a defensive war. That is, it is to counter an aggression. Now, the question then that one has to ask with regard to the present state of Iraq, is an aggression underway? That is, are we actually witnessing a process? And the process would include Iraq's support for terrorism in September 11th, in which there is an aggression underway. And therefore, it is not only permitted, but it is the duty of whoever has the capacity then to act with moral responsibility in countering that attack.
And for yourself, what is the standard of proof that you would require to see that Iraq is, in fact, in some way assisting terrorism of the sort that we witnessed and suffered from on September 11th?
Well, we know that from the many statements of Saddam Hussein, plus from his many actions over the years, that he has been supportive of aggressive, including terrorist acts, aimed at the United States. And there is no evidence that he has changed his mind on this.
There is some inherent tension, it seems, between the idea that under just war doctrine, war should be a last resort, and the notion of an early or preemptive attack. The two ideas are, at least on the surface, in conflict. How do you reconcile them? How do you understand a preemptive attack as a last resort?
Well, I agree with you. There is a possible tension there. But if the capacity and intention factor leads one to conclude that an aggression is underway, then your action is not really properly called a preemptive action, is it? It is, in the precise sense of just war vocabulary, a defensive action against precisely an aggression underway.
Father Richard John Newhouse, editor of First Things, a monthly journal of religion, culture, and public life, thank you very much for talking
about
this.
Thank you. God bless.
The political scientist Michael Walzer wrote on this subject recently in the New Republic. He, too, says that what President Bush is advocating with respect to Iraq is not truly a preemptive strike. He says that concept is well understood. A foreign country masses troops along your border or takes some other step that's obvious preparation for attack, so you strike first.
We do not have to wait to be attacked. That's true. We don't have to wait. But we do have to wait until we have some indication some quite strong indication that an attack is coming. What the Bush people are really talking about, what was really the subject of President Bush's speech at West Point, is preventive war, which is quite different because it involves responding to a threat that we see coming down the road, a threat of which we have some premonition, about which we can speculate, but about which we have no certainty.
If the distinction between a preemptive attack, which, as you say, is often justified or can be justified, and a preventive attack, which is something quite different, is a degree of knowledge, a degree of certainty. How can one come by that certainty? What sort of standard would you look for?
It's not only certainty, it's also imminence. It's a question of what we are certain about. We may be certain that some rival power in the world, some historical rival, is arming itself, is working to produce new weapons. We may be quite certain about that, and yet the threat may be so distant that there's a lot to do to ward off the danger before we decide to go to war. And in the case of imminence, we may have somewhat less certain knowledge, but think we have plausible reasons to expect an attack next Tuesday, and then preemption might be a reasonable course of action.
You've made the argument that an attack against Iraq, war with Iraq, would have been more justified in terms of international law and thinking of just war, theories of a just war, say 6 or 7 years ago in the 1990s than it is today.
Right, because I believe that the Gulf War in 91 was a justified war and that the peace agreement that followed it was a good peace agreement. It put Iraq on probation. It imposed constraints that were justified because of the Iraqi aggression against Kuwait. And those constraints should have been maintained. And it would have greatly strengthened the UN and the notion of a rule of law in international society had they been maintained by force if necessary.
But what then is different between the mid-1990s and the early years of the 21st century?
Well, the UN retreated at that point, and now what we need to do is to recreate those conditions and this time be prepared to fight if it turns out to be necessary. We should reimpose the inspection regime and be prepared to enforce it.
Professor Michael Walzer, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Michael Walzer is a political scientist at the Institute for Advanced Studies in Princeton, New Jersey. Now we turn to General Wesley Clark, former commander of NATO forces, most visibly during the conflict in Kosovo. He says there are clear requirements that must be met before the U.S. is justified in attacking another country.
The basic principle is that you'd have to be under threat, and if the attack hasn't occurred yet, the threat would have to be imminent, and the use of force would have to be the last resort.
Given those standards and given the situation with respect to Iraq right now, is a strike against Iraq justified?
I don't think that anyone has been able to establish an immediate urgency so overpowering that we can't afford to go to the United Nations and work with our allies and exhaust all diplomatic remedies before using force to enforce the disarmament of Iraq.
But there's a difference between what's prudent and preferable and what is morally justified. If, in fact, the United States were to suspect that Iraq is manufacturing weapons of mass destruction, would it be right? Would it be, if you were in uniform, would there be orders you could feel comfortable with next week to say, we are attacking Iraq?
I would probably, in uniform, feel comfortable with those orders because they would have come from a lawful process. That is, they would be issued by the President of the United States, and they would have been vetted by U.S. law. But that's not the question we're really interested in here. I think we're interested in the question of why we would want to do this and why it would be justified. And there are, I guess, two principles that can be drawn from. One is that we're entering in a period when the existence of weapons of mass destruction, the proliferation of these capabilities to various nations around the world, simply poses a risk which crosses the boundary between acceptable and unacceptable. Saddam Hussein's possession of these weapons was determined to have crossed that boundary. When he invaded Kuwait, he acted in an aggressive way, and at the end of that campaign in 1991, he pledged to give up his capabilities. That pledge was incorporated in United Nations Security Council resolutions. It's international law. And if international law is going to mean anything, it has to be enforced. The United Nations does not have the capability to enforce it. It has to rely on member states and regional organizations, and that's the United States.
If, in fact, enforcing the sanctions against Iraq and requiring Iraqi disarmament is justified precisely because it strengthens international law, and whereas you had the experience in Kosovo where you couldn't get the Security Council to back concerted action in Kosovo because the Russians objected to it, does that mean whether or not the Security Council supports what the United States now does in Iraq, it's justified either way?
Well, I think that's an issue that we have to keep on the table. Ultimately, what happened in Kosovo is that our long-standing efforts in the UN, even though the UN ultimately didn't approve a resolution, were very helpful in the efforts of nations themselves under their own constitutions and national law to recognize the need to act collectively. And I think in this case that the American efforts in the United Nations will serve the same purpose. They will be productive. The simple fact is that international law does change. It changes to meet the requirements and the values and the urgencies of the era. And our actions here, our concerns with Iraq, are going to form, along with Kosovo, a certain precedent for dealing with problems, even within national borders.
General Clark, thank you very much for talking with us today. General Wesley Clark is the former Supreme Allied Commander in Europe and also the author of the book Waging Modern War. He was one of three people we talked to about what justifies war in general and against Iraq at this time. The two other people we heard from were Father Richard John Newhouse and the political scientist Michael Walzer.